Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Five-time Super Bowl champions Tom Brill, Belichick, and the New England Patriots play.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
The bird has landed. The bird is here. Not in here, though. Not in here, but the bird's here.
Has it been working out?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley in Cleveland when Josh Gordon showed up to the Browns this year.
Like, the normal saying is,
I told you,
the eagle has landed. He can't even get a saying right.
I told you earlier he said bird. The saying is, the eagle has landed. This idiot says, the bird has landed, the bird. That bird being Josh Gordon.
The bird has landed.
With Todd Haley being completely disinterested, saying, has he worked out?
The plane has landed. A touchdown, football.
Hey, when Belichick speaks on this conference call, we're going to go to it.
Okay.
All right?
Still.
It'll be the first comments, we believe, the first comments about Josh Gordon and the acquisition.
Right here.
I feel like Bill has had big comments on conference calls before. I think back to Jimmy Garoppolo. His comments on that were on the conference call, right?
Yes.
On trades. Big trade-related matters. Happen on these Tuesday conference calls.
And then he advanced it the day after with us. We're talking about snapshots in time.
That may have been a Monday. That may have been a Monday. It was a Tuesday.
Jimmy got traded Monday night.
Yeah. Like
Tuesday, and then we had him Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah, 2 days after.
That's right. He was very happy to talk to us. When's that coming up again, by the way? Soon, right?
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be talking to him again?
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll just, in the meantime, we'll be waiting for that. Wait for Josh Gordon's whatever comments Bill Belichick may have about Josh Gordon. We can go to your phones, but be prepared to be hung up on if Bill starts to speak. Alex in Fitchburg is back
on
the line. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. So I'm thinking of, you know, a guy like Josh Gordon over his career. You know, he says that his substance abuse stems from trauma in his adolescence. You know, college player, they had to beg him to play football. He comes to the Browns. The kid's been losing his entire life. So my question is, if you put him in a position to win, does it change anything for him as a football player, a person that competes at a professional level in the NFL? Do you give him a chance to win games? Does that change anything for a guy like that?
I mean, and whatever issue you have, and somebody, I think everybody in life deals with something, right? You know, whether you're trying to drop weight or whether you're bipolar or whether you have an addiction to something. If the first two times or three times it doesn't work out, what do? Do you just throw those people away? Do you just disregard everything? And just say, you know what, you're never gonna do it. I think when you try to help somebody, you continue to try and put them in good situations and see how they react. And eventually you hope that something kicks in to change their habits and make it for the better. And again, this isn't like this guy's drinking. It's a weed thing, right? It's a weed thing. And a lot of people look at weed now differently than you did 10, 15 years ago. I'm just amazed that now. What is the issue? Can he come in? Can they?
I don't care.
Can they test
you
him
want
for
smoke weed?
Weed?
Go for
no,
it.
No, but
man.
If like, if you're in the substance,
I'm not worried about that.
He's obviously in the league substance abuse system, right? There, and didn't he have to broker something with the league? I don't know the exact details of that over the summer. Remember, they went and they came to agreement on something.
He's close to a lifetime ban.
Okay, so if you bring him in and as part of this physical, him peeing in a cup.
From a team perspective?
I don't think the team has the right or the ability to do that. That's got to come from the league, and I think league doctors. I'm not sure on that.
Team probably doesn't want to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, What if he got cut the other, or they said, hey, we're trading.
But is it the weed that's the big issue or the mental health issue that's the big issue? Because I think it's the mental health issues.
I don't know.
And I think they kind of go hand in hand, right?
And are you going to get more leave? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we're learning more and more about this guy. I think we'll learn more about him when we get around him. So, but I think it's a pretty damn good environment, a stable environment. You could say what you want. The day may do things not the way that you like, and it may be a bitch, and it may be tough, and it's very work-like, and you can't have fun. Wasn't fun the magic word this offseason? Fun. Be free. Have fun. Want to have more fun. Want to feel appreciated. But that type of rigid environment, as opposed to the ridiculous environment that we witness on Hard Knocks and the way it's been there in Cleveland, that guy was going to take advantage of things. And you give somebody that type of leeway. You give an inch, they take a foot. You're not taking a foot when you're giving an inch here. You're not really giving that inch here. So you get him in here, get him in that strict environment. Say what you want, military-like or whatever.
Yeah, and if he doesn't like it, and you end up cutting him, will another team sign him?
Here we go.
All right, let's hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick now speaking to the media on a conference call.
How much can you expect from Josh Gordon right away?
Yeah, we're at the same place with him that we were yesterday. So we're in the process of working through it. We'll just have to see how it goes.
So in other words, you're not completely ready to talk about him being officially added to the roster. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I can move on to the Detroit Lions and the weapons they present. Obviously, they have quite the receiving core. Can you just talk briefly about what is it about the guys like Golden Tate and especially Marvin Jones that present such a threat to your defense?
Yeah. Galladay, Roberts, Wilson, it's a good group plus the backs, Riddick, Johnson, Abdullah. So they got a lot of good players. Obviously, a really good quarterback, so they present a lot of problems there. Very good receivers, and Tate, Jones, Galladay are all good after the catch. They're strong runners. So tackling is not just keeping them from getting the ball in the passing game, but tackling after the catch will be challenging too.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Next question will be Ben Volen, and I'll ask anyone else that's on the call to hit 5-star if you want to ask a question. Go ahead, Ben.
Morning, Bill. Curious if you have any update on Trey Flowers and Patrick Chung with their concussions.
Nope, not at this time.
With Chung, just curious if you know what happened. In the second quarter, he came off the field for one play for like an injury timeout. And then he came right back on the field, played the rest of the half, and then at halftime, all of a sudden, he doesn't come out, and it comes out that he has a concussion. Just do you know why he wasn't checked for a concussion at any point during the second quarter?
Yeah, that's really a medical question that I can't answer. So if the player is medically cleared to play, then it's a coaching decision. If he's not medically cleared, then it's not a coaching decision. We're out of it. It's a medical decision. So it really falls into one of those two categories.
Do you know if he started showing signs at halftime or anything like that?
It was a medical decision. If he's not cleared to play, then it doesn't have anything to do with coaching. He's not cleared to play.
I just was wondering if you had any insight on what actually happened.
I just tried to explain that. When
okay.
he's not
Thank
cleared
you.
To play, then he's not in the game. If he's cleared to play and wasn't taken out of the game medically, then it would be a coaching decision whether to play him or not.
Next question.
Do you know why the team...
Next question, Phil Perry. Go ahead.
Thanks, Stacey. Bill, we've heard you say to us before that dependability is more important than ability. given that, what are the circumstances around which you'd be open to relaxing maybe your standards, the team's standards on dependability, just because there is a need for someone with a certain level of ability?
I don't really follow the question. What is the question?
At what point are you willing to relax your standards on dependability because of, you know, a player's level of talent or what they can bring for you on the field, even if they have proven that they're not necessarily always dependable?
Yeah, it's a pretty vague and general question. I'd say in the end, we try to do what's best for the football team. I don't know any other way to answer it.
I'll go back to Ben Volen.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks, guys. Bill, just one last follow-up on Patrick Chung. Yeah. Did you get any explanation why the team doctors didn't check Patrick for a concussion at any point during the second quarter?
Look, I don't know whether they did or didn't. Those are medical procedures, Ben, and some of that's dictated by things from upstairs, from the neutral physician, and then that goes through our medical department. So I can't. I mean, I'm trying to coach a game. I don't have time for a conversation with those guys. If the player's cleared, he's cleared. If he's not cleared, then he's not cleared.
Sure, and no question, the NFL has people watching the situation, and they didn't point it out either. So I was just
I'm not saying I don't know the answer to that question. You'd have to talk to them. I don't know. I don't talk to the NFL medical people. Like, I've never am never in communication with them at all. Never.
Mm-hmm. Our next question, Mike Petraglia, followed by Henry McKenna.
Bill, I know you've spoken about Matt Patricia in the past at length, especially when he was on your staff and how hard he works. But what have you seen from the Lions that kind of has his stamp on what they do early on? And the follow-up to that question would be, in a situation like this, when you go up against a former assistant, how do you have to balance doing what you do as opposed to being concerned what you know about his tendencies?
Well, yeah, I mean, the most important thing right now is for us to get ready to play the Detroit Lions, and so what they do and how they do it and the players they do it with, and that's really all we're focused on. So I'm sure Matt will do a great job of having them prepared for us, and he'll game plan us.
All right, so you're listening to Bill Belichick. It's still happening. This is a conference call that happens weekly with the media. Some of this is gold with the back and forth there with Ben Volen and Belichick, but if you heard the top of it, he doesn't want to talk about Josh Gordon.
I just think this is a fascinating listen because the delays, the pauses, and you could just tell how it's a sort of a pins and needles type conference call.
It's
where
very prickly.
Everybody wants Gordon questions and answers, and Bill's just sticking to his guns.
So Phil Perry asked this question twice, and it was clearly clear question.
Phil's probably listening to our show.
There was nothing vague. There was nothing confusing about his question, and Bill wouldn't touch it.
Well, Bill talked about just dependability and ability.
Yeah.
That's why he asked it.
Because he only wants to talk about those things in his mantras when it fits what he's talking about. He doesn't want to actually be called on and be held responsible for the things that he adheres to every day here. He only wants to talk about those things when people are, you know, talking about how great he is. When he actually goes against those things, he doesn't want to admit it. And that's why he wouldn't touch that question and just blew it off and played dumb is what he did there. I'm confused. It's too vague. I don't get your question.
Well, it was,
that's,
I mean,
a lie.
There was a lot of wordplay going on there. It's like, you know, when does the reliability interfere with the ability and the hillbilly of the ability for the reliability to be able to billy, billy, billy?
It's still happening. Do we want to check back in here?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Mike Giardi's on the call. He hasn't asked a question yet. So why don't we get back into it and keep listening to Bill Belichick?
You've had a lot of turnover at the receiver position and a lot of guys who haven't actually stayed with the team for very long, sometimes, you know, a day or a few days. What can you learn about players during that sort of short span? And how does that play into sort of the team building element, you know, as that turnover keeps happening?
I mean, look, the time and the roster limits and so forth are what they are, and so I would just say that we try to manage them the best that we can. You know, it's like more time, more opportunities, but limitation to the number of players and the number of people on your roster. We have to be in compliance with that. So if we had more time, we'd do it differently. If we have to make a decision for whatever the reasons are, then we have to make that decision. Do what feels best for the team.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question, William Bendenson, followed by Rich Garvin. And our final question will be from Mike Giardi. Go ahead, William.
Bill, I was just wondering, obviously you have to watch the tape against Jacksonville, but how do you take those lessons and apply them to a new team next week? Because obviously Detroit is a very different team than Jacksonville. Just the challenge of applying, because you're not playing Jacksonville next week, obviously the challenge of applying the lessons you learned from watching the tape against Jacksonville to Detroit.
That's good. It's a good question. It's part of the challenge of just moving forward week to week. Certainly there are things that if we don't correct them, will continue to be a problem next week, but we can't keep replaying last week's game. We've got to move on, and there are some things that, and plenty of things that the Lions do that Jacksonville didn't do. So yeah, we have to try to balance that. Both are important. It's important to correct mistakes and understand where we've been and how to do things differently, or how what we did was good and how to do it again when that situation comes up. But there's certainly new challenges coming up the following week. So it's like that every week. It's no different. Every week is like that. So there's some element of it. It's just a question of how much and how much carryover you think there might be from one team to the next in a certain area. And if there's a lot of carryover, then I think you've got to be more cognizant of what happened in the past. If there's not as much carryover, then you still need to make your corrections and adjustments, but it may not show itself immediately. It might be something further down the road. So it's a balancing act. And they're both important. You just have to make the decisions in each phase of the game, each aspect of it, where to place the emphasis.
Last two questions will be Rich Garvin, followed by Mike Giardi.
Bill, I just wanted to ask you about basically just speak to the depth of your defensive line and, you know, in a kind of the system you use with a lot of moving parts, the importance of having depth there and versatility.
Well, it's great to have depth at any position you have it in. It's really hard to have it at all positions. You just don't have, you just run out of people, especially on game day. So when you have to get to the 46-man roster, your depth's made up of players that can play multiple positions, whether that's one guy playing more than one spot in a backup role, or whether it's a backup that moves into a starting position and one of your starting players having being a multi-position player. But one way or another, you've got to cover a lot of bases between the the different offensive and defensive units you have, and the 66 players that are involved in the kicking game, and backups for all those. So, yeah, versatility is an important part of it. And again, there's a lot of bases to cover.
And last question, Mike Giardi.
Morning, Bill.
Mike.
What sort of role does the locker room culture play when you acquire players who've had off-field issues? Because obviously you've brought in many over the course of time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you otherwise?
I don't have a. Go ahead. Yeah, there's no. I don't know.
It's necessary to have a strong room, though.
Again, every situation is different. It would be impossible for me to answer that question. You're talking about teams aren't the same. No two players are the same. No two situations are the same. No two coaching staffs are really the same. I mean, there are a lot of variables. There's so many variables from player to player, year to year, team to team. I there's no way I could answer that question. Do the best you can.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks. If everyone will hold the line, we'll have Josh McDaniels on next.
Conference recording stopped.
All right.
Gold.
I'll say this.
He didn't answer much, but it's gold, man.
Hey, don't hang up the phone back there in the studio.
Yeah.
Let's at the very least see what McDaniels is asked about the possibility of bringing in Josh Gordon. I mean, the team has put out an official press release. They've announced the move.
God,
the Cleveland
Twitter.
Browns have announced the move. They've officially put this out there. And in Bill Belichick's world, it's like it never happened. Is that because he hasn't been here yet? He hasn't taken the physical yet? Is that part of the reasoning?
It means tomorrow's press conference is a must listen.
Thank you.
So now if he's putting it in, you're only assuming he comes here and this trade is going to get done, which we assume it is, based on both teams announcing it. You're just kicking it down the road another day. So tomorrow means he's going to have to address it. Assuming Josh Gordon shows up in Foxborough.
Walking on eggshells, though. I don't know. I mean, he gave you nothing in that press conference.
Not a thing.
Nothing in that conference call.
Not a thing.
You're hanging on every. You're waiting for something.
He couldn't wrap his head around Phil Perry's question. It would be impossible, he said, to answer a question about having a strong locker room and what it means to being able to take in players that have had some off the field issues. It'd be impossible. How could you possibly answer that question? That was his conference call with the New England media. We'll get back to your calls on this. You've heard from Bill Belichick. We'll also replay what he said at the start of that conference call if you missed it. Coming up next.
Wow.
Sports Hub headlines.
New receiver for the Patriots, but Bill Belichick not talking much about it in his conference call a few minutes ago. Josh Gordon reportedly here on a trade from the Browns in exchange for a fifth rounder next year, and the Patriots getting the seventh round pick also from the Browns if Gordon isn't active for at least 10 games. Patriots will also pay him the remaining $697,000 on his 2018 contract. Josh Gordon will also be a restricted free agent at the end of the season, but the Pats can tender him at that time. More on this story coming up with Zolak and Bertrand, who are live in Foxborough today here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots, meanwhile, getting ready for the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. Last night, Bears over the Seahawks in Chicago, 24-17. That wraps up NFL week number two. The Red Sox and Yankees were scheduled to go off at 1 o'clock this afternoon, but weather in New York has pushed that game back to a 7:05 start. Magic number for the Red Sox is 2, so a win tonight will wrap the division for Boston. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters, where the food is hot, the beer is cold, and the game is on. Saugus, Dedham, West Springfield, and on Route 9 in Shrewsbury, Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com. Here's Zoe Beadle from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates.
how much can you expect from Josh Gordon right away?
Yeah, we're at the same place with him that we were yesterday. So we're in the process of working through it. We'll just have to see how it goes.
That's Bill Belichick at the start of his conference call earlier this hour. Call me crazy still, but I'm starting to think this deal might have a hang-up somewhere that they're concerned about.
I think they're waiting for total clearance, Roger, Victor, Vector, right? I mean, it's probably, I would say, 95% done, and he's not going to talk about it until it's 100% done, and the guy's in the building, and he actually has a number that's been assigned to him. I go back to, okay, so he had a film shoot or a commercial shoot or some promotion on Friday. Hurts his, injures the hamstring?
Right.
But then some of the reports after trade yesterday said he's cleared to play this week and should be able to play for the Patriots. Like a couple of reporters had that. How are you so hurt on Friday, and then all of a sudden 2 days later you're cleared to play? Would you tweak?
But you know how that could have. I mean,
the whole Martellus Bennett thing. Give me a break. Come on. Go back to that with Green Bay and how they ended up acquiring him.
You could have tweaked your hammy on a Friday. 2 days later, you don't feel great. You wouldn't have been able, but listen, it wasn't just about that. He didn't disclose the injury to the team. He didn't tell them that he had tweaked the hamstring, and he shows up the next day, doesn't tell them.
Showed up late.
They had concerns about whether or not he was sober when he did show up at the facility. Okay? And that's, they said, that's it, we're done with you.
See, and with him being in the testing program and moving to another team, does the new team have the right to ask the league to test him? That's stuff we probably don't know. That they're going to keep private and quiet. And I know there's a lot of negotiations with Gordon over the summer. So,
hey, there was a story. This is completely off topic from what we're talking about now, but it's worth a mention. Because as always here, we like to keep you up to date on everything happening in the NFL. Did you see the tweet yesterday that Antonio Brown put out?
Yes.
About, well, then go ahead and trade me?
Yeah, people are yapping at him, right? And this is part of the problem when you get into Twitter, right? And you see all the replies and responses, and probably somebody added him. Oh, he's just being whiny because Ben made him. Ben made him all his money. And he starts replying to people.
Yeah, I just want to check the timestamp on that tweet. That was at 11:29 a.m. yesterday. Here's what happened. Someone tweeted and said, Antonio Brown needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben, and Ben got Antonio Brown paid. You know darn well he wouldn't put up those numbers for other teams. Antonio Brown retweeted that guy, and that said, trade me. Let's find out. Well, it turns out that Antonio Brown didn't show up for work yesterday in Pittsburgh. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Antonio Brown did not show up for work Monday to the Steelers facility.
Oh, ho. So not only do you not have Le'Veon Bell, now you got this guy who just inked the new deal a year ago. Got a massive extension. Highest paid receiver. What the hell's his problem?
According to Ed Bouchette, longtime Pittsburgh writer, he writes, it's not clear if Brown's absence was excused by Coach Mike Tomlin, but several sources indicated they did not know why Brown didn't show up with the rest of his teammates for meetings and film review on Monday. This is one day after he appeared upset on the field and left the locker room in a hurry following the 42-37 loss to the Chiefs. Ooh. Steelers players are off today. They report back on Wednesday.
So they were required to report yesterday. And that tweet was sent out at 10:29 a.m. yesterday, his reply.
Brown's absence is just the latest misstep by the All-Pro receiver, who in the past month has posted controversial messages on social media, including threatening to punch a journalist who wrote an unflattering story about him. Ed Bouchette, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's interesting.
Wow.
These receivers.
Divas,
bunch
man.
Of divas.
Aren't they?
All of them.
High maintenance, man.
All of them.
All Ferraris.
Back to this deal that the Patriots have done. I'm now thinking there could be a hiccup somewhere. That's a possibility. Even if it is 95% done.
Yeah, I mean,
they're being super cautious about this.
I really don't blame Bill for it, because until that guy is, because you're going to look silly if something doesn't go through. And I go, hey, people, there's a reason I didn't talk about this. right? Because we're waiting on something. So, yeah, we did basically all the paperwork. There's a process it has to work through.
The physical.
The player has to come through. You have to pass the physical. And with the extra stuff that this guy's involved in and the suspensions he's had in the substance abuse policy to where you're in it, you're in the league now. You're in the league substance abuse policy system. So once you're in that system, do you have the right to say, I want to know if this guy still is on weed?
I would think so.
I would think he'd be tested every week. If you've been banned, if you had a 4-game suspension to 10, which he had, then 2 consecutive years, boom, boom, suspended for the year, suspended for the year. I would assume it's not random after that. I would assume there's a kicker that indicates you're going to get tested every Friday. You're coming in every Friday and we're testing you. So,
how long does a player have to report to their new team?
Usually they get your ass on a plane that night or the next day.
Yeah, but do we know if there's a certain amount of time?
I don't know. I don't know what the limits would be.
Like you, a rule,
you would expedite it as quick as possible that day, usually.
Yeah.
Especially on a trade. Get him there. Like, we want the property now.
What if he doesn't show? Is the trade going to happen if he doesn't show up?
That's
in
part
New England?
Of it. I don't know. Maybe the Patriots heard some resistance from Gordon's end.
This is why I'm saying this is how he can stop.
Bill's making going to make sure he gets his picks back. That's what he's
okay.
Gonna do.
Okay, but this is how he can stop the trade, by not showing up. Josh Gordon doesn't get on the plane, doesn't come to New England.
Yeah.
Well, then what happens? They're not going to do the trade. The trade's going to be off.
So
the trade won't be official, I guess.
What year was he drafted?
2012.
So he's vested then.
Well, this is another part of it with him.
Yeah, I mean, you need three games into each season to be vested for that year.
Yes, he is. For pension purposes.
Oh, no, I'm talking about for guaranteed salary. He was on the Cleveland Browns roster week one.
And I talked about this pregame on Sunday.
Yeah.
There are two different systems, and Joel Corey, who's a former agent, an NFL guy, had information when this news came out the other night, on Saturday night, about him having, he was an exclusive rights free agent. That's why he's on this deal that he's on now for $790,000. He is not subject to waivers, though. The rule, so it's typically in the NFL, you get 4 years, you're vested, you get 4 years, you don't go on waivers, and you're also getting 4 years of credit for free agency. Joel Corey said, no waivers for Josh Gordon. He got credited seasons for benefits and minimum salary purposes, which have different standards than what it would be for, I guess, contracts and free agency. There's two separate accounting systems in the NFL in terms of how many games you're playing. So the standard for waivers is credited seasons, which requires 3 games, full pay, as you said, right?
Right.
But to get closer to free agency, you need 6 games. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's two different systems.
Right, right.
So, yes, credited seasons. He has the credited seasons. Yeah. 4 credited seasons for minimum salary. But because of all his suspensions, it's a confusing system.
Yeah, what's the pride of the player at that point, too? Do you want to play? Do you even want to play football?
This is my grand point today. Yes, overarching everything. This covers everything. Does the guy want to play? And if he doesn't show up here, what happens next? He's not going back to Cleveland. What's he going to do? Tell the Browns to trade him to a team of his choice? Can that happen? Tell him to cut him?
No, this guy shouldn't have the right to go wherever the hell he wants. Give me a freaking break. You earned that right.
What if he wants that, though? What if that's what he's doing?
Guys late in their career, after they've had great careers, earn that right to say, okay, it's not working out here, but we want to trade you. Okay, we're going to go to you because we respect the way you've played the game and what you've given us. Where would you like to go?
This is a conversation you have to have when you trade for players like Josh Gordon. Is the guy even going to show up after the trade was made? Is the coach not talking about the guy today because he may not even show up?
Wouldn't you be excited to get traded to New England? Like, if you're him?
Yeah. Football players who love football like to get traded to New England.
Right.
Guys who just sort of like the paycheck and want to keep collecting the paycheck and don't really give a damn about football and never really have cared about football.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys typically say, I'm good. I'm all set with that. They really make you work hard and do a lot of football stuff there. I'm not really big into football. I'm big into being an NFL player, though. Yeah. The lifestyle is nice. 617-779-0985. We'll get to more of your calls, I promise. We've had a lot going on with Belichick speaking earlier in the hour. So don't go anywhere. Stay right here. We're live from Gillette Stadium.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Bill, we've heard you say to us before that dependability is more important than ability. Given that, what are the circumstances around which you'd be open to relaxing maybe your standards, the team's standards on dependability, just because there is a need for someone with a certain level of ability?
I don't really follow the question. What is the question?
It's not really that difficult of a question.
Well, it shouldn't be that difficult of a question if you don't forget that you have to go back to September 4th of 2013, where he gave you the ability. What is it? Ability is dependability. It's his words.
Yeah.
He's the one that stressed it.
Yeah.
And that's why we pulled it up a year ago in Tom versus Time when Mr. Miyagi, you know, pliability is ability.
Yep.
Edelman.
This is reliability as important as consistency of play and reliability.
Yeah, we like to say dependability is more important than ability. So put it that way.
Quick.
Maybe I'll use your phrase, but that's the one we use. But that's, I think we're saying the same thing.
That's what they live by. That's part of the philosophy.
We use, boom, quick answer. We got it. That's their.
And by the way, sometimes I think that being so rigid in that is not a good thing. Right? There are times where you say, this guy stinks,
right,
that you've got on your team.
You think that Jacksonville defense, that they're all dependable?
Just because he shows up and practices every day and he's dependable, and can you be a little better, though? Like, there are times where you look at players and say, this guy can't play for crap. But because he's dependable and he's like a good teammate and a good, you know, good player, and that doesn't necessarily mean that's the best move for the team.
Sometime in this league, man, I think you get so entertained and you love the nut job that's going to go loco, but kid can play his ass off and you put up with it, right? Why do people like Jalen Ramsey? Runs his mouth off. Duval, you know, we're going to win that bitch. We're going to go up there and we're going to win. We're going to win the whole Super Bowl. People are like, yes! And then go out and play and you become like a big fan. His face is everywhere in Jacksonville.
But he's a great player.
Branded him.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
No one's ever doubted whether or not Jalen Ramsey likes football, but there's
that flexibility and that... You know, we'll let him run his mouth because, I don't know, he kind of needs that. Some guys need stuff. Brady needs Guerrero. You're flexible there. You're allowing him to deal with, you know what I mean?
There's not a lot of flexibility here once you're in the system and once you're a part of the team.
No, not when you screw up the way you've screwed up, though. See, that's what's different here. I mean, we're talking about players like Brady and, you know, just what has he done to screw up?
Let's go to the phones. Gil and Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the Belichick conference call?
Man, I didn't enjoy it at all. But there's two things I wanted to tell you guys. One, I've always wanted to say this. You ready?
Ready.
Huh. Hey, Zoe. Hey, Beetle. Hey, Hottie.
Is that like from Ken and Lowell?
Yeah. No, that's
Ken and Lowell.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my boy Ken. He's hilarious. But the second point is, what's up with... like Phil Perry, like, why don't you just ask the question that you're trying to ask? Why are you being around the bush? You know, just ask Bill Belichick, you know, Josh Gordon is not dependable, but your wide receiver sucks, so that's why you brought him in. Like, why can't you say that? Why are you being around the bush?
Because the comment that Bill Belichick made in 2013 was not about Josh Gordon. It was in general. That's why.
Yeah, but now,
and because if you bring up the name Josh Gordon,
you shut down.
It would have been shut down immediately. That's why I thought it was a very crafty way that Phil did that.
You sort of have to after you go into a press conference. You got a certain thing you're trying to get at because you got something you want to write, or this is the topic you want to address, and it's taken down with the first question. If you want to bring that back up, you got to get creative to ask it a certain way, to twist something, to get him to maybe go out of his way to answer it to where he'd put the guy's name into it. But I'm just still waiting here. The guy's probably not even in town yet.
Is he coming to town? Important question. Is he coming to town? Pete's in Delaware. Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, Scott, just a quick question for you. As far as Gordon, beyond the sobriety, we all know those issues. But my other concern is he played at Baylor. He played at Cleveland. Neither one of those teams have any type of a complex offense. Now you're going to bring New England with that type of offense. We're going to actually have to learn the playbook. Doesn't that give you pause?
Well, it doesn't, because I've talked about these Baylor guys that, you know, isn't what's his name? Coleman a Baylor guy too? I thought Coleman was a Baylor guy.
What's your point?
Is that right? Yeah. My point is Baylor runs a complex offense where when you're in that spread and you have a certain protection called, and is the back out, is the back in, is the back chipping, you've got to know that as a receiver, because if you're having hot routes built into your offense that's predicated on the blitz, bringing too strong weak or bringing too strong or too weak,
right?
You've got to make route adjustments. Or if you're running verticals and that coverage changes at snap, you really don't want four verticals running into cover two. So all of a sudden, the inside guy's got altered. He's got to run the dig. This guy's got to run a crosser, and somebody's going to the post. So that changes in route. So that tells me there's a basic complexity to what you've been taught as a receiver that should help you down the road. And then, again, to build with what I said about Todd Haley was trained and groomed in the Ron Earhart scheme and terminology of the way you call an offense.
Right.
And I was around it. It's Bill Parcells-based. It's Belichick-based. It's Weiss. It's Billy O'Brien. It's Josh McDaniels. It's whoever's been involved in this. Uses the same zero-out slot, one-out slot. Let's go gun right, split right, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have sort of the same terminology that was in Cleveland that is used here. Now, it'd be different. It's going to be different. Like Randy Moss played out with the Vikings and played out west with the Raiders. That's all West Coast-based terminology. That's Spider 2Y Banana. Spider 2Y Banana here, maybe zero out slot, 65, Y read, Z in. That's not night and day, man. You tell me how a new guy who never has had one snap in that new type of system could get out there and even function. So I'm hoping that what Todd Haley used is a lot of the same type of language that is used here. And that should help Gordon more quickly.
Well, you say, you know, what Todd Haley was doing. You understand that Josh Gordon was around Todd Haley for a total of, like, 2 weeks. That's it.
Yeah.
Showed up at the end of camp. He played week one. He wasn't around Todd Haley. It wasn't like he had been, you know, with the guy more than a few weeks.
North Turner. He had his best stuff with North Turner. And then I think Kyle Shanahan was the following year, right? So, but I don't even think he played that many games under Kyle Shanahan. I think it was mostly 2013 was his big year. That was North Turner.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he played under Shanahan. Is that what you said?
Shanahan.
What year was he there?
Hugh Jackson ran his own offense. Remember last year, Hugh Jackson said, it's not worth it to hire an offensive coordinator because we're not winning anyways.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
How's he still there? Really? How is he still there? Hugh Jackson is almost like the SEALs, a protected species.
He missed all of 15 and all of 16.
You really can't call. The culling of Hugh Jackson should be a major topic in this league.
Five games in 14, five last year, and one this year. He's played 11 games since the start of 2014.
So the bird has landed.
So he played five games with him.
And Baylor was the first program to not have a playbook. Remember the no playbook offense?
And yeah, Art Briles had to kick him off the team. He got the boot at Baylor.
The rap sheet is pretty. We should do the rap sheet at some point.
Oh, we're going to have to, just to give you the background.
Rap sheet.
Matt and Weymouth. Matt.
Matty.
What's up, Zill?
Hey, what's up?
Beetle, haven't seen you at the Hancock Tavern recently. What's going on?
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while.
Come on, go to the Hancock Tavern.
I haven't been there in a while.
Come on.
Maybe I'll make it a point to come by. When are you going to be there?
I'm there a couple times a week. We'll talk this terrible trim.
Whoa, where is the Hancock Tavern?
It's on Hancock Street in Wollaston.
Oh,
you say a couple times a week. I'm like a couple times a year.
Yeah, I'm there. But hey guys, all these transactions, you know, for a couple extra million, you just keep on Amendola. You got that same offense from the second half in the Super Bowl. They didn't exactly struggle to move the ball there.
You hung up.
I don't understand.
They should have kept Amendola.
Oh. What were you going to pay him? You going to pay him $6
million? No.
Okay, somebody offered him $6 million a year for 2 years.
No, thanks.
Okay. Do you want to pay Danny Amendola $12
million? No, but I want you to spend some money on receivers, and they didn't exactly do that. And that's why you're now on September 17th, yesterday, trading for Josh Gordon.
Okay.
All right, we'll get a check of the headlines here at the top of the hour and the noontime hour on the way. More on Josh Gordon and more of your phone calls in reaction to a Patriots trade that Bill Belichick is not yet willing to speak about.